Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Gene editing to treat sickle cell disease, a star eating a planet, a new ecosystem discovered, a new type of heart disease found. The solution to a 50-year-old mathematical puzzle unpuzzled, and that is just the tip of the proverbial iceberg, which continues to melt. Let's look at some of the most interesting scientific stories of the year with Laura Helmuth. She's editor-in-chief of Scientific American. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
And start with space. You know, this year we got the first full year of data from the James Webb Space Telescope. It revealed so many surprises about the universe. You start.
Yeah, it's been a great year from the JWST. The biggest surprise was that it uncovered so many really big and complex and mature galaxies. And according to cosmological theories about how the universe evolved, nobody was really expecting to see that kind of, you know, really full-grown galaxy so early in the universe's history. So that was a surprise.
Yeah.
And people are redoing their models now. And it's also uncovered a lot of exoplanets, which are planets around other distant stars. And we've gotten some just beautiful looks at the planets in our own solar system.
And remind us, why was the JWST able to do this?
It's the, you know, the biggest, best, most precise astronomical instrument that humans have ever invented. And it just can get really, really precise, deep images of the farthest parts of the universe.
What's the one thing you hope you hear from the James Webb?
Oh boy, well, of course, everybody's dreaming about, you know, could it uncover some kind of signature of life?
Yeah.
And boy, that would be just a dream.
Yeah. Well, sticking with space, you remind us that astronomers saw a star eat a planet for the first time. It sounds like Pac-Man.
What
yes. What does that mean?
Yeah, the star is a red giant that had been just this quiet red giant, hadn't been doing anything exciting. And then over a course of a couple months, it emitted this huge burst of lights and radiation. And when astronomers looked at it, they realized, oh, what happened is a planet fell into this star, and it's a process called planetary engulfment.
Oh, boy.
And one of the things that makes it fun is this is sort of like a doom foretold vision we have, because this star is very much like our own sun. So in about 5 billion years, our Earth will also be a red giant. And that's when the Earth is going to slam into the sun, and that will be the end of everything for all of us.
Well, you know, that's an optimistic statement, because with climate change, if we last 5 billion years,
yeah.
Health. We've all been reading about how the CRISPR gene editing treatment actually cured 100 people with sickle cell disease. This is huge. Remind us what it is, who it affects, and what CRISPR's done.
Yeah, this was one of the great pieces of real serious progress in health and medicine this year. Sickle cell disease is a really painful lifelong problem where the red blood cells, rather than being kind of round and slippery, as in most people, they're kind of sickle-shaped. They get stuck to each other, and they get stuck in capillaries. It can cause excruciating pain. And this is the first treatment that actually changes people's genome and uses the system called CRISPR gene editing and allows them to make the properly shaped red blood cells. And so, yeah, 100 people so far in the clinical trial have functionally been cured, and we're hoping to see it scaled up and so that everybody with this condition has a chance to get cured.
Sure. I mean, we've seen stories of children, young people. It mostly primarily affects African Americans. Just terrible. And is there a hope it can be used for other diseases?
Yeah, that's the goal. There are not that many diseases that are just a very well understood simple mutation that you can fix. But what we see again and again in biomedical research is there are ways to take the technology, and we see this for vaccine technology, for immunotherapy. Once they're kind of well understood, they can be used again and again for different problems.
Yeah. Well, one hopes. Well, then there were the big headlines about the drugs Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro. These were developed to treat diabetes, but they were being used, you know, kind of underground, a lot of Hollywood stars. for weight loss, so much that there were shortages. But now we know, in addition to being helpful for obesity, weight problems, there are also heart benefits. Talk about the science here.
Yeah, this has been a surprise. As you say, these drugs were originally intended for people with diabetes, and that's still who benefits the most. But there have been some clinical trials showing that people with obesity who take these drugs have a dramatically reduced risk of cardiovascular disease. And there's also some early signs that it can reduce the risk of kidney disease, and it seems to be able to treat some types of addiction. And it's still early stages, but it really is the, you know, the most promising treatment for obesity-related diseases that we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. So I'm really hopeful that in 2024, the data will be a lot clearer about who can be helped by this and how to make it accessible. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're very expensive drugs.
Yeah, so some tremendous hope and also caution because it's relatively new. Another health story that took us a little by surprise, 95% of people diagnosed with penicillin allergy aren't actually allergic to penicillin?
Yes, and this is good news. I mean, it's a little bit embarrassing because so many people have been told that they're allergic to penicillin. A kid goes into the doctors, there's something wrong with them, they take penicillin in case it's an infection, and then they get a rash or they have a fever. And out of an abundance of caution, the doctor will assume, okay, that's a penicillin allergy, but it was almost certainly just the condition that brought them to the doctor in the first place. And of course, once an allergy is in your medical charts, it's hard to get it out. But now more sophisticated testing shows that 95% of people who have in their medical charts that they are allergic to penicillin are not actually allergic to penicillin. Which is great because if more people can use it, that will give them just more options to treat future infections and potentially slow down the rise of antibiotic resistance.
Yeah, just terrific. Okay, here's a few of your big science stories of 2023 that we loved. For example, we found out that gorillas, orangutans, and other primates like to...
They like to spin around on ropes and vines until they get so dizzy that they fall down. And then they get up and they get on that rope or that vine and they do it all again. And it's just adorable. And it's just like children playing on a playground, enjoying getting dizzy and spinning themselves silly.
I love that. I mean, you know, so I wasn't the only one as a kid who lay on my stomach on the swing and went around and around and around till you had all the chains and then let the chains go and you went back around the other way. But why is that important science?
Well, you know, it's probably not the most important story of the year, but it's a fun story. And I think whenever we understand more about animals, it helps us appreciate that we're all connected.
I would put this in the top five. But anyway, okay, moving from animals, you told us something that sounds truly unbelievable. A new ecosystem was discovered below a hydrothermal vent in the seafloor. Tell us what the ecosystem is. What's a hydrothermal vent? What does this mean?
Yeah, a hydrothermal vent at the bottom of the sea is where superheated water is kind of squirting out of cracks in the seafloor. They support a lot of life, but nobody had really looked underneath the vents. And so a mission, you know, went to a hydrothermal vent and dug around underneath it and found that there's a whole other ecosystem underneath the geyser. And it's got worms and snails and various larvae. You know, just another sign that the ocean is amazing. And there is so much going on down there that we just have are just learning for the first time.
Right. Oh, there may be more. All right, we're going to end with math. Mathematicians solved a 50-year-old puzzle about the Möbius strip.
Yeah, so the Möbius strip, maybe some people have made this. You basically take a piece of paper and you twist it and then tape the edges together. And then if you run your finger along the Möbius strip, it's like an endless surface.
Right.
It's basically a one-dimensional structure mathematically that loops around endlessly. And there's been a question for about 50 years, how short of a piece of paper can you use to make a Möbius strip? And so just this year, mathematicians figured out that the ratio between the width of a strip of paper and the length of it is 1 to the square root of 3. So if you have a strip of paper that's 1 centimeter wide, you have to have a length that is at least 1.73 centimeters in order to make a Möbius strip that doesn't fold up on itself or intersect with itself. It was a puzzle that mathematicians had been thinking about for 50 years, and now they know.
And now they know. And now we can all sit around and make the shortest Möbius strip if we want. Laura Helmuth, editor-in-chief for Scientific American magazine. You know, we had disastrous setbacks and climate change, but how would you rate it? It sounds like it was a good year in science.
Yeah, it was a great year in science. We learned so many things. You know, it's easy to miss the things that go right. When you solve a problem, sometimes you just kind of move on and you don't really stop to appreciate how great it is to have fixed something. And I think knowing that we can fix things, I hope, will give people hope that we can fix the climate crisis as well.
Yeah. Laura, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.